So I'm going to have you try and finish a quote.
Oh, no, it's a pop quiz.
You probably heard this quote before, so you'll probably be able to finish it, but it's stated this way. A goal without a plan is...
a disaster.
That's a good answer. That's not the actual quote.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
Some French author said a goal without a plan is a wish.
Oh.
Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's like if I have a goal, but there's no plan, it's just a wish. I hope I, you know, if I want to lose weight, I have no plan. If I want to win the Super Bowl in Detroit with the Detroit Lions, you don't have a plan, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? And I think the reason I bring that up is when you think about family and you think about spiritual leadership in your family, don't you think that's what a lot of us parents do?
Yes, because we all long for a discipleship process, and we want to be these great disciplers of our kids. We long for it. We wish for it. But I think so many of us feel ill-equipped. I feel like it's like a diet. You know what I mean? You have this new plan, like, I'm going to go on this diet today. And then you fail, and then you're like, see, it didn't work. And I think discipleship with our families and our kids can be like that. I'm really excited, and oh, they just don't seem interested, and they're hitting each other, and they're running around, and that one didn't work. And so I feel like we can get discouraged.
And of course, you're not talking about our kids. They never,
oh, of course not,
ever did that. Actually, that was almost every family devotional. Tell you what, so many families can relate to that, and that's why we exist here at Family Life. It's a ministry that has helped families like ours and yours really stay to a plan and keep it. And, you know, so exciting. We have David Robbins with us today, the president of Family Life. You know, David, as you think about that, talk about how critical this time of year is for our ministry.
Well, I just think about this conversation. I'm going, this is what we're all about. Families discipling their kids, families discipling people around them that don't know Jesus, taking the gospel to places that there's gospel gaps where Jesus is not known in that home. That's what we're about at Family Life. And this year is a critical time as we have plans, whether it's for Family Life Today and continuing its reach or to make more small group resources so that more people can be sent out to form community in their neighborhoods to help those kids that aren't getting truth in their home at all. That's what we're about at Family Life, to be able to reach another home, one home at a time. And I just want to challenge and invite you to join with us in getting the gospel to more families.
I think this is a critical time, but I love how we're helping people make this donation of helping us fulfill all these goals by this dollar for dollar match.
Yeah, I tell you what, David, you got me excited. I mean, sitting here listening to what you're saying, it's like, I want to help. There's something in my soul, and I think it's true for our listener, that says that matters. And I want to be a part of it. And I just don't want to give my time. I want to actually give my talents and my treasure, my money. And you're going to give to something at year end. Why not a ministry like ours that makes an eternal impact on a family and on a legacy? So here's how you can do it. It's very simple. Go to familylifetoday.com or you can dial us at 800-FL-TODAY. Then here's the amazing thing. That gift will be matched dollar for dollar.
Yes, and up to $1.5 million, which is incredible.
Which is amazing, which means whatever you give is doubled. So who wouldn't want to do that? And you're going to have an impact on families. Here's another amazing thing. You give a gift to us, we'll give a gift back to you. We're going to send you Dane Ortlund's new book, 150 Devotions on the Psalms, and playing cards.
Playing cards?
Which have conversation starters for your marriage and your family.
So you can play cards, but you can ask deep questions.
Yeah, I know you love that stuff. So anyway, you're going to love it as well. So you give a gift, we give you a gift. And again, 1-800-FL-TODAY, and it'll impact marriages and families. And as we're talking about today, parenting.
Yeah.
It's one of the things we love to help parents. So let's talk parenting. We've got in the studio today a guy, I'm not kidding, when I read about what you've done with your family, Terrence Chapman, I thought this guy not only has a goal, You are a man with a plan. Mm. So, Terrence, welcome to Family Life Today.
Oh, it's so good to be here and looking forward to our conversation.
I mean, Terrence, did you hear that? You're the man with the plan.
Well, you know, he's just trying to butter me up. I think he's trying to get some football tickets or something.
But. Yeah, well, I'll take football tickets anytime you got them. But no, I'm not kidding. When I read about what you do and what you've done, and we're going to talk about this today, with your family,
it's inspiring.
I can tend to be a guy with lofty goals and aspirations, not always sitting down and go, okay, how are we going to get there? I mean, I have them in different areas of my life. But when I looked at your life and your family, you're not a guy with just a goal. You are a guy that has a goal with a plan, right? And some of that, I'm guessing, is from your background. Tell us a little bit about, you've worked at some pretty important places. I drink your stuff all the time, Coca-Cola. Tell us a little bit about your background, because I know that's where you learned a lot of how to develop these kind of plans.
You know, sure is. You know, I started with companies like Johnson & Johnson, Citibank, and Coca-Cola. So as an executive leader in those companies, you know, we learned a thing or two about planning. You know, and when I think about this plan, it really goes back well beyond into my early years, where we used to have Sunday dinner every Sunday
when you were
grandma's house.
Oh,
right. And to listen, and you know, now when I talk about Sunday dinner, I'm talking about the full spread.
Yeah.
Everything's homemade. I'm talking where the flour is sift, not the bag flour. I'm talking
yes.
the real stuff.
I want to come there.
Homemade ice cream, right?
Oh.
The thing I loved about it is that we not only had a dessert, we had a dessert table, right? All homemade, fresh stuff.
I mean, now, how many people are at this gathering?
The feast.
The entire family. This is a feast. This is Christmas every Sunday, right?
So you grew up with that.
I grew up with that. But what's important about it is Sunday was a time for the Lord.
Mm.
You know, we started out with Sunday school and, you know, early morning, of course, church, 11. And, you know, I went to a church that we just got started 3 or 4 o'clock. You know, so yeah, today is 12 o'clock. We're looking at our watch. And,
right.
But, you know, we just got warmed up. And then guess what? Sunday evening was revival of some sort. So, you know, we had revival 6, 7 o'clock. But I tell you what I loved about revival. We had some good chicken. We had some good chicken and food. So obviously my life has been centered around a good family meal, spiritually, and also around the dinner table.
So you get married, what, 38 years ago. Tell us a little bit about your family.
You know, married to a wonderful wife, Wanda, met at University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. I think she followed me around for a couple of years. At least that's the story I'm telling.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's
she
your
has a different story,
story
right? But, you know, we just met each other and fell in love and was married in 82 and been married going on almost 40 years, so 39 years. Three beautiful kids, two girls, one boy. They're all married now. And have kids of their own. So we're working on our number 6 grandchild, 4 today, but 2 coming. My youngest daughter's expecting twins in a couple of weeks. So we're going to be populating, you know, we're doing our part as a Chapman family to populate the earth here. So we'll have 6 grandkids.
Congratulations. That's
yeah,
exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about spiritual formation in your family, because when I was reading through your life, I listened, you have a podcast.
Yes.
What's it called? Victorious
Family?
Victorious
Friday.
Victorious Friday.
Right. Every Friday noontime, we want to talk to you about what it means to plan. As you said, if you fail to plan, you just fail. And so here's the idea. Our goal is for parents to really plant the seed to the answer to the question, do your children believe? Because at the end of the day, we're raising kids. We have a responsibility. There's some key things. We have a responsibility to train and instruct them in the Lord. I mean, that's Ephesians 6:4.
Right.
Talks about fathers really.
Do not exasperate. Really,
do not exasperate. I was doing real well in that area of exasperation, you know. But he says to do what? He says we got to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's really family discipleship. And so how do we become intentional in that process? Well, to answer one of your earlier questions, to come back, and, you know, my wife was off on an anniversary trip, and we were just enjoying life, and I thought, I bring 3 questions. We might as well talk about where we've been
this
in the last
like
10
year
years.
15?
No, it's like year 10.
Oh,
year
you're
10.
Married.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right. I said, you know, where have we been these last 10 years? Where are we now? And where are we going? And our kids were between 10 and 15 years of age. And so we were talking about it, having a great conversation, and then one question came up that led to this whole thing. Are the kids prepared to defend their faith after high school?
Your wife asked that?
Then my wife asked that question.
Women are wise, man.
right? And so, you know, we heard all the studies, 68, 74% of children are walking away from the faith after high school. I have a different take on that. But we had heard that story, and we wanted to address it. As a youth director in the church, you know, you at least have to have some answers. Well, right. Guess what? I didn't have a lot of them.
Well, Terrence, take us, like, what was going on in your family before that? Were you purposeful, intentional about discipling your kids up to that point?
I would say we were not intentional. Well, we were doing like most parents. We all want to do the right thing. Sometimes we just don't know how. Or sometimes we just go where the wind is blowing. And so we did a normal thing. We take them to church. We abdicated the responsibility of raising our kids to the church. And to my wife, quite candid with you, I was building big businesses. You know, that was my priority. That was what I was doing. And I had abdicated that responsibility to my wife and the church. But yet I'm a youth director in the church. And so as we moved through that, we started to think about this whole idea of sanctification, this whole idea of process, how we're going to be intentional in training our kids in the Lord. So we don't leave it to wherever the wind blows and what circumstances. We're intentional. Yeah. And so as we were thinking about that question, and she asked that question, well, are they prepared? We came back with the response, they're not prepared. Well, and the loving wife and the gracious wife that she is, she just turns to me and say, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, what am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You're a spiritual leader at home. I'm not the spiritual leader at home. What are you going to do? And what is the church going to do? What are they doing? And so she left me with this kind, loving remark. Well, in 2 weeks, I want you to come back and tell me how we're going to be intentional in raising our kids.
Oh, she gave you a timetable.
She said that to you.
2 weeks.
You got 2 weeks, Terrence. 14 days.
So what I do,
she knew you, though. Oh, knew you're gonna meet that challenge.
Either that or she was just trying to torture me. So we get into this mode. Well, what do I know about this, right? I mean, 68% of parents, they feel totally inadequate to raise their kids in the Lord. And I was feeling that at that moment.
Yeah.
And so I began to think, well, what do I know? I know how to write plans. I've been writing some billion-dollar plans for a little small, you know, beverage company. I think I could do the same here. And so what do I know about that? But more importantly, what do I know about those 66 books, those basic instructions before leaving this earth? What do I know about that? And how can I incorporate that into some systematized process to raise my kids in the Lord? And so in 2 weeks, I went back and said, listen, first, we need to understand, what are our values? What do we really believe in to be true? Some of those values we knew. Some of those values were not yet. And some of those values we needed to flush out a little bit more. So we started to go through a process. What's our values? And then, as you know, in any business plan, you never think to start a business without a business plan. You have to have a vision, right? You never start a ministry without a ministry plan. You have to have a vision. So what's on the horizon? Where are we taking them? What's the destination? I would recommend you have to really understand where you're taking them. And for us, we wanted our kids to fall madly in love with Christ Jesus.
Mm, we all long for that,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah. So how do we get there? Becomes our mission. And, you know, we start to look at that, and how do we plant seeds so that that answer to the question is very clear. Do our children believe? It's not about what we do, actually. It's about what he's done on the cross. So what do we need to do is to help them to understand who he is and what he's done and let them investigate the faith on their own. And the Holy Spirit will move in such a way that they will come to know him and they will come to love him and they will come to walk with him out of pure joy.
Well, it's interesting, you know, hearing you say that. I think some men and women would resonate with, I can do that. Others would be like, I'm not sure how to even start. So that's all in your book, right? Do your children believe? Do you walk them through that in the book? How do I sit down? How do I figure out what our goal is, what our vision is, what our values are? Is it a workbook type thing where you can help families do that?
Well, you know, we've been blessed for the last 12 and a half years to train over 100,000 parents on just that very thing, walking them through in a one-day process. We have what we call a Do Your Children Believe workshop. It's a one-day workshop, and we walk them through how to begin to draft such a plan. You know, when you start it, it seems daunting.
Right.
It seems like, well, I'm not a planner. You know, I don't know anything about this. But we have a plan for our children. It may not be written. It may be in our heads. But the idea, if you write it down, it gets done. I mean, there's plenty of studies that prove that point. Harvard said they did a study. Yale said they did it. But whoever's want to take credit for it probably came from a whole different university. But what it says is, as they study students from the class of 1979, 83% did not have goals, did not write them down. They achieved less than the 3% that wrote their goals down, looked at them every day, lived them out, and they accomplished more than the 83 did. And so it's a very simple process that if you write it down, you have to think about it. And if you're thinking about it, you have to pray about it, and you have to go through this process. But at the end of the day, it gets done. Hmm. And so that's what we found.
I do remember when I started, helped found a church 30 years ago. One of the first things we did, we went to a John Maxwell leadership conference. And one of the simple things John said at the conference was, if you don't think about leadership every day, you won't lead. So he's like, every day, take at least 15 minutes, think about leadership, look at principles. I was like, what? How can that make it? It makes all the difference. So, I mean, as you're talking about being a parent, thinking about spiritually forming our kids, I think it's really easy for parents to say, no, that's the church's job, that's the Christian school's job, or the camp's job. But you said, no, it's our job. And you already hinted on this, and you hinted that you don't agree with the statistic that 68% of kids after high school walk away. What do you mean by that? Do they or don't they, or what are you saying?
Well, they may walk away from the church. But if they have truly been saved by grace, they can never walk away. So, you know, I believe we didn't earn it, so we can't lose it. We can't walk away from it. Now, we may minimize it in our life, and we may choose to live more in the world than we do in our spiritual side. But if we are truly saved, if we are truly walking with the Lord, I don't think we ever can walk away from something that we never walked to in the first place. And so I believe that walking to is the power of the Holy Spirit that draws us to Him in such an intimate, loving way. It's permanent, right? So I can't gain my faith. I can't lose my faith. But kids like I did, I mean, you basically, the disciplines of your faith may be minimized. The reading of God's words, the prayer life, the worship life may decline, especially during the college years. I mean, there's a lot of distractions during those years. And so you may not prioritize that walk on a regular basis. However, the faith, the fact that I have an intimate personal relationship with Christ, I don't think can ever be abandoned.
Terrence, I love hearing all that because I think it resonates with every listener. Take us back again to this pivotal point of your wife giving you a couple weeks to come up with your plan. I'm picturing you as a very successful businessman, and now you're coming up with this plan for your family. Take us on this journey of what happened after that. Did you stay in business? How did you have the time? Thinking of listeners like, I don't have the time. What happened in your life?
Yeah, so we prioritize what we desire and what we value. And so what I value most is that my kids would have a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, Dr. Richard Blackaby, and he has something really a golden nugget from his father, Henry. He says, you know, Terrence, God doesn't want your best for your family. He wants His best for your family. So the pressure that you're feeling is not on you. God is saying, I'm not going to lose not one that the Lord has given me. And so the pressure was there in the sense, man, am I capable? Am I, you know, qualified to do this? Do I know enough? Am I a theologian enough to kind of figure out these truths? And like, I don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa of theology. What I have to do, I have to be available. I have to be willing, and I have to be able to say, I'm going to invest time with the Lord so that I can invest time with my kids. So here's where I started. I started on my knees in prayer. Lord, I'm in your presence. I have a heart to do your will and to teach your will and your truth to my children. Show me the way. Lead me and guide me and direct my path. So this isn't about what we do. This is about what He does in and through us.
Takes the pressure off of you.
It takes the pressure. It takes the handcuffs off. And that's what we want to do to parents. You know, the world puts handcuffs on you. The Lord frees you from those handcuffs because it's by His grace that we have been saved. So here's where we started. Starting on my knees in that prayer. And I just went back and said, what vision do I have? Where am I taking my kids? You know, if I want to go on a trip to Chicago, I'm going to map out the trip to Chicago, right? And I'm going to figure out my mile markers, which we call goals, by the way. And we simply say, here's why I want my kids to fall madly in love with the Lord. How does that work? Well, you got to spend time in God's Word. We have to be on our knees in prayer. We have to worship as a family together and have conversations together on a regular basis. And then, how often did we do that? Now, this is the real spiritual side.
Yeah.
I'm busy. I'm flying around the world. I mean, I think Delta still, loves me and so forth. And so I said, well, I do this once a month. My kids say, once a month? What about once a week? I'm like, I can't do it once a week. I'm too busy.
Your kids were asking you to do it once a week.
Once a week.
They're teenagers at this
point?
So
the theologian that I am, I said, well, what about twice a month?
You'll meet them in the middle.
We'll meet them in the middle. Yeah. I'm a compromiser, negotiation, high skill level. So I said 2 weeks. And they said, because now here's the beauty around the 1 month. They said, Dad, 1 month. Think about if you spent time with mom once a month. How loving would that marriage be? Ouch moment, right?
I am so impressed that your kids are saying this. Right. Aren't you?
He's so my good. Wife get on me, and now my kids. Once a month. I said, yeah. So we settled on 2 weeks. And guess what? We've been doing family devotions for 20 years now, every other Sunday. It used to be 9 to 10. We're getting older now. So it was 8 to 9. And now we do it virtual.
And they're out of the house now.
They're out of the house, married with kids. We're still doing our family devotionals. My job is to construct the year, map it out, and I'm kind of walking them through the process. And every 2 weeks, we're on the phone, 8 to 9, and now they're old enough. They do the teaching. They share in the teaching. I tell you, it's the best time we have over the week.
That's amazing. Give us a picture of, like, when it started. Your kids were teenagers. Did they seem interested? I'm thinking, you know, our kids are looking at their watches. When is this over? Were you discouraged at all at the beginning?
So here's the beauty. Make it fun. You know, if I would have taken a plan, hey, guys, I think we want to do a plan, and let me talk about vision statements and mission statements, would have said, hey, Dad, thank you so much. You know, have a nice day. So I did a little bit different approach. I said, listen, we're going to go up to Lake Lanier. There's a log cabin up there right outside of Georgia, and we're just going to spend the weekend together, because we did that often. We're going to have fun. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go play putt-putt golf and do a lot of other fun things that we love, some fishing and different things. And by the way, I did win in the putt-putt golf tournament, but that's a side story.
Well, there you go. You have a couple hole-in-ones?
I still have the scorecard.
You really do?
Well, you know, our kids get conveniency amnesia sometimes, so I have to bring them back to reality.
Yeah, show them up.
So we go out and we play putt-putt and we have a great time. And you know how I started? I just shared my story. I said, I just want to share my story. I want to talk to you about my life before Christ, how I came to Christ, and my life after Christ. And it wasn't an hour, 2 hour story, because they weren't going to sit for that long. They're used to Dad talking for that long. But this time they gave me about 3 to 5 minutes. And I just wanted to share my story. In fact, when is the last time that you as a Christian parent has shared your story with your child? And when is the last time you've heard their story if they're a Christian? And so I shared my story. I just had fun. And then my wife shared her story. And then because my kids were Christian, they shared their story. But if they weren't Christian, I still wanted to hear their story.
Right.
And so when they shared their story, there was things I had never heard before. And I just said, praise the Lord. So that's how we started. And we just started sharing our story.
That's beautiful.
And God's story in that, right? And the golden thread that kind of weaved through all that process was Christ Jesus. And so that's how we started.
And I think so many parents don't start, and you already alluded to this, because they just don't feel equipped. I don't know enough. I've heard that many times as a pastor of church. I can't really share Christ with my neighbor. I don't know what to say, and so they do nothing. And obviously, you started simple, but I'm guessing over time it's grown, right? You're meeting every couple weeks. Did you feel like, man, oh, man, I got to have something to share? Every couple weeks.
Well, here's what we do. We go through a process, and the goal process now, we're going from vision, mission, all that, and then goals, right, where we're going. So we've designed our whole devotional process around 3 goals. We call them connection goals, year one. So year one theme is connection. Year two is commitment. And year three is commission.
I think your story is so encouraging, Terrence, because first of all, you said you were praying, like, God, what is in me? What do I have to offer? And he really did give you an idea and a plan, and we're going to get into that more. But I like, too, that you started out with just your story of salvation, the story of your life, how Jesus led you to him. And the same with your wife. We often never share that with our kids, and yet it's a pivotal part of our history and our legacy. And I think that could be a great place to start with our kids.
And I think owning the fact that we as parents, it's on us. I mean, it's really easy to farm it out.
Yes.
Think the church needs to do it. And, you know, I was a pastor for a church for years. And, yes, we want to help families do that. We want to be in partnership. But we know we've got your kid for an hour, maybe an hour and a half a week. You've got them. And yet we as parents, and I would just say to the dads and moms listening, it's your job. And it isn't rocket science. We can do this. And we are responsible before God to do it. So,
but, Dave, he also started out on his knees.
Yeah.
That's the first step.
I know that the idea of guiding your family spiritually as a husband or as a wife, this can feel like you're out of your league. It can feel overwhelming. You think, I don't know where to start. You think, I'm not sure I'm making a difference. What we've heard today from Terrence Chatman is we can begin to take some quick, easy first steps in the right direction and then watch how God honors that, how he blesses that. Terrence Chatman has written a book called Do Your Children Believe? Becoming Intentional About Your Family's Faith and Spiritual Legacy. He not only tells about his own journey toward that kind of intentionality, but he maps out for us an easy-to-follow pattern so that we can begin to implement, make some simple changes that will change the trajectory of your family spiritually. We've got copies of Terrence's book available. You can go to familylifetoday.com to request your copy or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the book is called Do Your Children Believe? Order it from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, we are at the halfway point in the month of December, less than 10 days from the celebration of Christmas. So there's a lot going on right now. Here at Family Life, we are continuing to hope and pray expectantly that in the next 2.5 weeks, we will see many of you step forward, go online or call us and make a year-end donation to support the ongoing work of this ministry. What happens over the next 2.5 weeks is critical to what we're able to do in the next year. About 40% of the money we need to operate will come in during the month of December. And so what happens here in the next few weeks is determinative for us. Fortunately, we've had some friends of the ministry who have come to us and said they will match every donation we receive here at Family Life during the month of December, dollar for dollar, up to a total of $1.5 million. We've already been able to take advantage of a chunk of that money from the matching gift fund because some of you have already made donations. Thank you for your support. We're still a ways away from being able to take full advantage of that $1.5 million matching gift. So we're asking you today, would you make a year-end donation online at familylifetoday.com? Or by calling 1-800-FL-TODAY. Be as generous as you can be. Whatever you give will be matched dollar for dollar. If you give $50, we receive $100 total. If you give $100, we receive $200. If you give $250, we get $500. You see how it works. Would you be as generous as you can be today? Go to familylifetoday.com to donate or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. When you do, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of a devotional book that will be great for you in the new year. It's from the Book of Psalms. Dane Ortlund has written 150 devotions from each of the Psalms, and his book is called In the Lord I Take Refuge. The book is our gift to you when you donate. Again, online at familylifetoday.com or by calling 1-800-FL-TODAY. So we hope to hear from you. Thanks in advance for whatever you're able to do. And please pray for us that we'll be able to take full advantage of this matching gift opportunity. Now, tomorrow, we're going to continue to hear about practical ways we can engage our family spiritually, point our kids in the right direction, help mold and shape their hearts with God's Word. Terrence Chapman is back with us tomorrow. I hope you will be as well. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.